Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Monday morning. It's Vanessa Denha Garmo filling in for my dear sister Teresa Tomeo here on Catholic Connection. And many of you might know my background. I'm from the Eastern Rite in the Catholic Church, so Eastern Rite Chaldean. And I bring that up because this is the day, the start of a three-day fast within the Chaldean community. So I thought I'd educate you a little bit about what goes on in different rites. So the Chaldeans have a three-day fast, which starts today, and it's called Biutha. And it's the supplication of the Ninevites. So during the season, we recall the preaching of Jonah to the Ninevites, and it was a declaration of fasting by the patriarch so that the Lord will have mercy on his people. Now, the exact origin of Biutha is really not known, but it was started by either Patriarch Elias or Emna. It's a three-day fast commemorating the events of the book of Jonah. So the story tells of the prophet Jonah, who was instructed by God to travel to the capital of Assyria, Nineveh, to preach to the inhabitants and tell them to repent. So Chaldeans are from Iraq, so it's modern-day Iraq, but it was Nineveh at the time. And so we have this three-day fast in the Chaldean community. So I thought that little interesting tidbit for all of you here on Catholic Connection. Again, I'm from the Eastern Rite. And another thing that Teresa likes to do here on Catholic Connection is to mention the feast day of our saints. And there is the beloved saints of Italy and Saint Hyacintha Mariscotti. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. She was born, she became a Franciscan nun, but was a strong-willed and enjoyed comforts she brought with her to the convent, extra food and habits of fine material. Her confessor was shocked and urged her to live more humbly. She changed her life and became devoted to the suffering of Christ and to stick to the sick and gave away her fine clothes. She fasted and did penance. And her holiness was so great, people snipped pieces from her habit as a relic, and her body rests in the area of Italy. And this is at TravelItalyExpert.com. And it's such an appropriate to mention her too, because she did get involved, and she was very devoted to fasting and penance. And that's really what Biutha too is about fasting during this time, right? And going to confession. And so this is what the Chaldeans do during this three-day fast as well. So that's a feast day. Teresa posted this on her social media platform. So did I. You can find me at Vanessa Denha Garmo on Twitter and Communications Evangelist Coach Vanessa Denha Garmo on Facebook. I'm also on LinkedIn and Instagram. I post stuff from when I fill in for Teresa and my own show, Epiphany, as well. A great show lineup here on Catholic Connection. Looking forward to having Debbie Cowden is going to be joining us, co-author of a book about tired parents. Boy, can I relate. The prayer book for tired parents. What parent is not tired? I don't know. If you're not tired as a parent, I don't know how well you're parenting. It's the hardest thing to do in the world. And I've had worn many hats in my life, and being a parent, and although I only have one, God bless all of you who have more. God has blessed me with one, and I'm very grateful. It's a lot of work. So we'll talk with Debbie Cowden about that, but it's also the greatest gift in the whole world of being a parent. And then I'm going to have some commentary today. We're going to share a short clip from Coach Tony Dungy today, speaking at the March for Life. He did a great job, but he also got a lot of criticism and attacks from the opposing side, the pro-abortion side, calling him an extremist, which is kind of funny. I mean, talk about calling the kettle black, right? I mean, who's an extremist when you kill babies up until birth and infanticide, and yet people who are pro-life trying to protect life, they're extremists. So we're going to share a clip with him and share some commentary about the March for Life and Tony Dungy and, you know, all these people on the public using their public platforms to stand up for life. God bless them. I mean, you don't hear The companies get attacked or criticized on social media when they promote abortion and abortion clinics. I mean, you've got companies like Starbucks and all these companies that are giving money to Planned Parenthood. And you just had ex-wife of the founder of Amazon, Jeff Bezos' wife, gave how many hundreds of millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood? And people are not outraged by that. But a coach speaks at a pro-life, the March for Life, on a pro-life issue, and he's being attacked all over social media. This is the world in which we live in. But we have to still stand up and speak up, because their tactic is to shut us up, to cancel us out. And we can't allow that to happen. We know Jesus tells us if we follow him, we'll be persecuted. So we have to be ready for that, ready for those verbal attacks, and pray that it's only verbal attacks, you know, that people don't escalate that. And although Christians all over the world are physically persecuted and killed every day all over the world for their faith and for their belief. So we pray for them as well. But we have to continue moving forward and forging ahead and speaking truth and asking the Lord to help us hear truth and see truth and know truth so we can share it with the rest of the world. And of course, rounding out the show, as she always does here on a Monday, Gail Buckley Barringer will be joining us from the Catholic Scripture Study International and sharing a scripture verse of the day. And what I love about this, too, is that we can really meditate on the scripture verse, maybe meditate all week on it, take it to adoration, do a Lectio Divina type of prayer with the biblical verse that Gail shares with us every week. It's so important to really see how the Lord is speaking to us, because we know the Lord speaks to us through scripture in many other ways. And when I'm hosting my own show, Epiphany, I always often ask our own guests about their own epiphany moments, those aha moments they have on their faith journey where God is really shining truth on your life. And, you know, God revealed in your life. That's what an epiphany is, God revealed. And God reveals himself to us all the time. We just have to be paying attention. You know, and unfortunately, when you're seeped in sin, when you're deep in sin, you're blinded to truth. You live in that darkness and you don't see the truth. And, you know, we know from scripture that even God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. I mean, is that what's happening in your own life? Is God hardening your heart that you don't see the truth? Do you have to repent? Do you have to fast maybe? Go into prayer. And that's what I love about scripture verses, is that we can really take a verse and really meditate on that for days, weeks, months, year, even years. I know when I was co-writing the book with Tom Naimi on Freedom Behind Bars, he said there was a biblical verse that he meditated on for years. It was something that he just couldn't let go, and he really prayed and meditated on it for years. And so that's something we could do with the scripture verses that Gail Buckley shares with us, is really take them into prayer every week, take them into a deep meditative prayer, maybe adoration, silence, and really hear the voice of God and see God revealed in our own lives. It is 8 minutes past the hour. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo, and now it's time for the news. So right here in the Detroit area, it's going to get very chilly and dip into the teens this week, about 14 degrees tomorrow. 20 degrees is the high today in northern Michigan and Sault Ste. Marie, and 33 in Detroit. And we look around the Midwest, 25 degrees, cloudy skies in Chicago, Minneapolis, it's 5 degrees. In Minneapolis today. Cincinnati's a high of 48, St. Louis 32. When we look at the East Coast, Washington, some rain showers are expected with a high of 47 degrees. Buffalo, New York, a high of 40 with rain showers. Going down south, Jackson, Florida, high of 75 degrees, 84 in Tampa, 78 in Miami. New Orleans, 74 is the high. Memphis, 56 is the high. And then Houston, 76 with rain showers. San Antonio, 74 degrees. El Paso, 67 is the high. 68 and sunny in Phoenix, Arizona. But Los Angeles is going to see rain showers most of today with only a 56 degree high today. San Francisco, even colder with a high of 49 and rain showers all day. And then when you get to Seattle, believe it or not, no rain is expected in Seattle. High of 40 degrees and sunny skies in Seattle, which is usually the rainy state. People are taking their messages to the streets after another police brutality incident on Saturday. Dozens gathered outside the state capitol in Denver to protest the fatal police beating of Tyree Nichols in Memphis, Tennessee earlier this month.
it's frustrating having to see this happen again and again and have to, like, take action, you know, whether it's in your personal life or at an event like this. It's frustrating and it's tiring, but, I mean, it needs to be done.
The protests in March came a day after the release of the body cam footage, which shows five Memphis police officers kicking and punching the 29-year-old. The incident eventually led to his death. Despite their frustration, protesters said they needed to express their feelings about Nichols' death. The march was peaceful and demonstrators were followed closely by authorities. At least 41 people are dead after a bus crash in Pakistan. Mark Mayfield has the story.
The bus fell into a ravine today and caught fire. This was in the southern part of the country. It was carrying 48 people on their way to the city of Karachi. One official said the bus crashed into a bridge, which then caused it to fall into the ravine. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Dozens of migrants in New York City are camped out next to a hotel because they're not satisfied with the relief center set up at the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal. Activist Sergio says some migrants went to the terminal but came back to the hotel to warn others not to go.
They've described that there's only food during limited hours and that sometimes the water runs out. And importantly also, it's cold in there.
Asylum seekers refused to leave the Watson Hotel yesterday, but there was no room at the hotel, so they put up tents. The city says the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal has the same services as other humanitarian relief centers in the city. CVS and Walmart are both cutting pharmacy hours and closing some store locations earlier due to staffing shortages. Both companies have announced that they will scale back hours at their pharmacies as the industry battles a shortage of pharmacists and other key positions starting in March. CVS is adjusting hours at about two-thirds of its retail pharmacies. In a statement, the Rhode Island-based company says it periodically conducts reviews to ensure pharmacies are open during peak customer demand. An equal percentage of Americans are concerned about the classified documents found in the possession of former President Trump and President Biden. A new NBC poll revealed 67% of Americans were concerned about both findings. This comes as U.S. Attorney General Merrick Garland appointed special counsels to oversee the investigation of both cases. Toyota is the world's top-selling automaker for the third year in a row. Cherry Thomas has that story.
The Japanese automaker sold 10.5 million vehicles in 2022. Demand for the company's cars and trucks remains high in Asia. Toyota has also boosted production in Asia and in North America.
Three former Twitter executives are set to appear before the House Oversight Committee next month. Their testimony will concern the social media company's decision to censor the New York Post article on Hunter Biden's laptop in the weeks leading up to the 2020 election. The February 8th hearing will be the first major session under Chairman James Corner of Kentucky. The biggest concern for parents is their kids' mental health. Mark Mayfield has that story.
That's according to a new study from the Pew Research Center, which tallied more than 3,700 U.S. parents last year. 40% of respondents said they are extremely or very worried that their kids will struggle with anxiety or depression. 35% felt the same way about their kids being bullied. Concerns over drugs or alcohol and getting shot were further down the list at less than 25%.
The man who wrote I Heard It Through the Grapevine and numerous other Motown classics is dead. Barrett Strong died Sunday in Detroit at the age of 81. Marvin Gaye's version spent 7 weeks at number one. Strong also wrote many songs for the Temptations, hits, and won a Grammy for Papa Was a Rolling Stone. The Philadelphia Eagles and Kansas City Chiefs are set to meet in this year's Super Bowl.
Kansas City punched its ticket with a dramatic home win over the Cincinnati Bengals in Sunday's AFC Championship game. Earlier on Sunday, Philly took down the San Francisco 49ers at home to secure the NFC crown. The Chiefs are making their third appearance in the big game since 2020, while the Eagles look to notch their second title in six seasons. Super Bowl 57 is set for February the 12th in Glendale, Arizona.
It is 14 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. When we come back after the break, we'll be talking about the prayer book for tired parents. We'll be right back.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthCare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthCare.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
The EWTN home video highlight for January is The Passion of St. Edmund Campion. Under the virulent persecution of Catholics known as the Reformation, St. Edmund Campion tenaciously and lovingly held firm to the faith during one of the darkest periods in history. Order your DVD at EWTNRC.com, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or call 1-800-854-6316.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for almost 20 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company, and it sent millions of dollars to thousands of pro-life charities. 5G coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. Live chat and a video introduction are available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
The prayer book for tired parents, practical ways to grow in love of God and get your family to heaven. Talking with us about that book is the co-author, Debbie Cowden. She wrote the book with her husband, David. Debbie, welcome to Catholic Connection.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell us what inspired you and your husband, David, to pen this book.
Well, we have three children. They're currently ages 2, 4, and 6, and we are tired. We are extremely tired. Mm-hmm. But also in the past few years, I mean, we've been Catholic the entire time we've been married. I'm a cradle Catholic. My husband is a convert. And the idea of being conscious about raising saints, it's still a fairly new concept to us, or was when we became parents, but it became more dire in the past few years as we saw the way the world was going. There's no longer an opportunity for Catholics, especially Catholic parents, to be lukewarm or to be somewhere in the middle. We have to be either all for it or discard it completely. And so when we realized that we had to go all in, we realized that we were going to need an action plan for how we were going to conscientiously raise saints and also get ourselves to heaven as well. So this book is the fruit of a lot of prayer and a lot of desire for us to see our children go in the right direction and to fulfill our call as Catholic parents.
And, you know, Debbie, as a parent myself, I know that we as parents, as Catholic parents especially, are competing for our kids' attention with what's going on in the secular world. So, you know, social media has their attention, their peers have their attention, academia has their attention, you know, teachers who have their own belief systems and agendas trying to indoctrinate our kids as young as, you know, a grade school, you know. And it used to be just college, and then it went to high school and then middle school and now to grade school. So we're competing up against a lot in terms of what's going on in the world and what's capturing our kids' attention.
Absolutely. And we were seeing this with our young children, too. Our oldest is in first grade. But even when she was younger, there were times where, you know, she would have the TV on and she would be sucked in by these characters. These TV animators do a really good job sucking children in. So we realized that our children were starting to become more or less obsessed or crazy about these characters. And so we kind of took the same approach when we turned off the TV and we're like, no more, literally unplugging the TV from the wall. And we decided to start encouraging our children to learn more about the saints. And so we've got little saint stuffed animals, saint storybooks, saint trading cards that they could look at and learn about the saints. And I'll tell you, my six-year-old has a whole collection of her favorite saints. And she'll go up to people and she'll say, have you ever heard of Saint Philomena? Or did you know that I was Saint Ursula for All Saints Day this year? So we do know that from a very young age, we can influence and really protect our children and show them the way that they should go. We show them the things that are important. And for us and for every Catholic parent, that should be their Catholic faith.
You know, that's a really good point. And giving our kids alternatives and introducing them to the saints as role models instead of the Hollywood people that they follow, you know, and things like what's on TikTok and the Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I mean, these are the things that our teenagers and preteens are looking at following. I mean, even though you talk about the animated shows that Hollywood produces, a lot of them have underlining agendas and subliminal messages that are getting our kids' attention and making and desensitizing them to things like violence or sex. And so this is what they're going up against. And we know that research has shown, and Teresa and I have talked about this many times, that even advertisers are targeting girls as young as 5 years old to be sexy with their clothing and their makeup. I mean, it's this is what we're dealing with in the world today.
It's sickening, and but it's also disheartening for parents too, because you feel like, what can I do to help my kids? Well, the solution is to build that firm foundation of faith in the home. And if you're tired because you feel like you've got all sorts of other stuff going on, and you feel like it's hard enough just to meet the corporal needs of your children, we want you to pick up the prayer book for tired parents, because Dave and I wrote this in a way that it's very conversational and very easy to digest for the tired parents' brain, because we were tired when we were writing it. But we want parents to feel encouraged, because God has called us to this vocation. If he called you to marriage and if he called you to be a parent, then he knows that that's the way that you're going to be made holy. And so we get to participate in that process through our devotion, through cultivating an atmosphere in our home, our domestic church, and by raising our children to do that too. And so when I say practical ways to grow in love of God, I mean absolutely practical ways. We talk about specific things that you can do, and not just the how, but the why. Because when you understand the why, then it makes the how seem so much more easily attainable.
It's the hardest job, in my opinion, but yet the greatest gift, and that is being a parent. We're talking with Debbie Cowden about the prayer book for tired parents, Practical Ways to Grow in Love of God and Get Your Family to Heaven. It's published by Sophia Institute Press, and it is a great gift. It's a blessing. Our children, we know this, are gifts from God, Debbie, but it's also the hardest job in the world, and I think it's harder and harder because of the world we live in today.
Exactly. And not only are we up against the world, but we're up against our children's untrained wills and their untrained minds, and also up against our own wills, too. So as parents, we get to make decisions about a lot of things, for all the things that we cannot control in life, like what kind of movies, you know, Hollywood puts out, or what kind of music ends up on the radio. We can control whether or not we are going to pray together as a family, even if that looks really imperfect and noisy and not like a Norman Rockwell scene. We get to choose whether or not we surround our children with holy reminders. We get to choose whether or not we go to daily mass. We get to participate in all of this. And what Dave and I realized at first was that, you know, during the pandemic, we had a one-year-old, a three-year-old, and we were pregnant with our third, and masses had shut down, and we were just getting into a good swing, being able to get our kids through mass and not having to spend the entire mass in the back of the church. But then during that time period where we could not go to mass, it was like everything had been undone. And when we started to bring our kids back to mass, we got really discouraged and felt like there was no way our family was going to be able to go to mass together. And at one point, Dave and I had even considered just going to mass separately. And that was the aha moment for us, that something needed to change. And Dave, in his wisdom, he's such a wonderful man, he suggested, why don't we go to daily mass? And I'm like, are you crazy? We can barely get our kids through Sunday mass, and you want to go back and do it again and again and again. But we realized that when we brought them to daily mass, we were training them. We were showing them what was important. We were giving them an opportunity to see what was going on, because a lot of times you're just seeing the backsides of people instead of what's happening at the altar. And our children actually grew accustomed to going to daily mass. They started to understand and, dare I say, appreciate what was going on. And now our son, who is, he was one at the time and now he's four, he will pray during mass on his own, Jesus, I love you, in the Eucharist.
Oh, that is beautiful.
It is. So I want parents to know that it is possible. You can do it.
Yeah. You plant the seeds. And I'll tell you, like this morning, right before I went on the air here, I was, you know, preparing for the show, as I always do when I fill in for Teresa, in my own show, rather, as well. But I ran up. My daughter was heading to school. My husband was taking her. I ran up because I put holy water on her as much as I can, you know, before she goes out. And I ran up, and she's used to that. You plant these little seeds, and now she calls me all the time, Debbie, and says, please pray for me, Mom. Or she'll text me throughout the day, Mom, I have a test coming up. Pray for me. You plant these seeds, and the kids remember, they're sponges, and they absorb, and they watch you. And what you're doing. We're talking with Debbie Cowden here on Catholic Connection. We got to take a break. We're going to continue our conversation with her about the book she co-wrote with her husband, The Prayer Book for Tired Parents. We'll be right back here on Catholic Connection. Don't go away, anyone.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I want to welcome you, if you're not familiar, with the wonderful world of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What will America become if it makes it impossible for the Holy Spirit to work here because of untruth and self-indulgence and paganism? This is not just a nice discussion of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I'm going to discuss what happens when people make it impossible to be prudent, just, or honest, or brave, or courageous, or reverent? When people make that impossible, what a terrible thing they do not only to themselves, but to our society.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What does the Catholic Catechism teach about divorce? The Church does not permit divorce in a valid marriage because she is firmly adhering to the rules set down by her founder. Jesus Christ made it very clear that a sacramental valid marriage was not to be dissolved. Whoever divorces his wife, he declared, and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. Therefore, the Church maintains a second marriage cannot be recognized as valid if the first marriage is valid. The Catechism tells us if the divorced are remarried civilly, they find themselves in a situation that objectively contravenes God's law. In such a situation, they may not receive Eucharistic communion as long as this situation persists. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
We're talking to Debbie Cowden here on Catholic Connection about a book she co-wrote with her husband from Sophia Press and Sophia Institute Press, and it's The Prayer Book for Tired Parents. And what else do you want to share with Debbie, with our listeners about the book? Maybe its format, and what do you want to share with us?
Well, I would love for parents to know that The Prayer Book for Tired Parents is not just a book that you pick up and read once and then give it away or put it away. It's a book that you can use over and over again. It was really important for my pragmatic husband to make a book that was that was going to allow people to get their bang for their buck out of it. So it's not just a book that talks about the spirituality of parents. It's actually like a workbook. It's a manual, a workbook. It's got a family prayer journal in it. It has over 30 reflections on saints who are important to parents, and I can get to those in just a second, with traditional prayers of the Church and then also prayers that Dave and I wrote specifically for parents. And we've got these workbook sections in there that allow you to flesh out what your goals are as a parent, what your prayer life as a family looks like right now and where you want it to be. And then you can start to write down the steps to get there, because we want you to make a plan, and you're not going to fall into holiness on your own. So you're creating a strategy so that your family can work together on holiness. And then it's got a lot of wisdom from EWTN founders, Mother Angelica. She was a champion for ordinary holiness. She says, we're all called to be great saints. Don't miss the opportunity. And for parents, that opportunity is right in front of you. So I really like the prayers that we wrote. We have St. Fiacre and a prayer for success in the garden, St. Isidore the farmer, and a prayer in thanksgiving for groceries. We have one of my favorites is St. Therese of Lisieux and a prayer of a parent during a child's tantrum. St. Elizabeth of Portugal and a prayer for the healing of family rifts. We've got a prayer for grandparents, a prayer for perseverance, a prayer for chastity for the entire family, a prayer for the completion of housework. So we want parents to be able to go straight to the prayer that they need in this book. And then one more thing that makes the book really interesting is at the back, there's an appendix where, you know, you see the prayer in within the pages of the book that you like. You can actually tear the prayer out of the back or cut the prayer out of the appendix in the back, and then you can put it in a picture frame or hang it on your bathroom mirror, put it by your nightstand, in your car, at your office desk, wherever you're going to see it and be reminded to pray. So there's a lot in the book. It's over 350 pages, and we're really excited for parents to get their hands on it.
You know, I was just thinking, Debbie, that this would be a great book for parenting groups. I know at the Eastern Catholic Re-Evangelization Center, they have a couple parenting groups, and there's a church locally, St. Thomas Chaldean Catholic Church, they have a parenting group. This would be a great resource for parenting groups at a parish or a community group or anything like that, or a book club.
Absolutely. And we would love for parishes to get their hands on many copies of the prayer book for tired parents. There are bulk opportunities available if you want to get a bunch of copies. But what Dave and I were hoping is that parishes would see the value in ministering to families in this way, and ministering to parents specifically. And we were hoping that they would give them the prayer book for tired parents when they present their children for baptism too. And it's so amazing. I was just talking to a deacon from Florida a couple weeks ago, and he told me that he was going to buy copies so that he could give them to parents when they present their children for baptism. And I almost cried because that is like a dream come true for us, because tired parents with their small babies, we are so discouraged when we are having to stand in the back of the church, or we feel like we don't get anything out of Mass because we are outside most of the time with the crying baby, or we're picking up Cheerios that spilled all over the floor, or we're having to constantly tell our little children, shh, 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 be quiet, be quiet, be quiet. And we have, it's almost like a spiritual starvation sometimes, but we don't want parents to be stuck in that. Your vocation as a parent is good. And again, God desires your holiness. And what we hope the prayer book for tired parents will do is help you lean into those instances in parenting where you're feeling completely exhausted and just depleted, because those are the opportunities to abandon yourself to God and allow Him to work through you. And we talk about all of that in the prayer book for tired parents.
Debbie, I have to tell you, I was just mentioning how it'd be a great book club book, and I mentioned ECRC and St. Thomas Chaldean Church, and my friend Antonio Casab just texted me, and she goes, oh my gosh, I just texted Father Pierre from St. Thomas that he should have Debbie come and be a guest speaker at the parenting group. It's great minds think alike.
I'm pretty close.
Yeah, you're not far. That's not far at all. That's funny. Great minds think alike. They have a wonderful parenting group. They just started at St. Thomas Chaldean Church, and ECRC also has a parenting prayer group, a mom's prayer group, and I thought Antonio obviously thought the same thing I did, because I think, you know, we're in this together. You know, it does take a village, and it does take advice from other parents. I've been blessed to have a circle of parents in my life. I have older sisters. I have friends that had children before I did, and to lean on each other during, you know, as you're parenting, especially when you're collaborating with parents who are like-minded, who are grounded in their faith and want to share that faith and pass that on to their children. It's so important to have resources like this, a tool like this to guide us, Debbie, like the book, The Prayer Book for Tired Parents, I think is a great resource.
Absolutely. It's so well suited to a group study, like you said, because there are those sections that you can work through together, and like literally sections in the book where we want you to write in the book. And you can talk about the practical tips that are in there and the pro tips, and to be able to discuss this with other parents helps you feel like you're not alone. And then you can come up with those concrete tips like, oh, this really worked for us. We have a really strong friend group where we live too, and it makes a big difference to see other families are pushing through these struggles, because it's worth it. It's literally what you were made for. You were made to know, love, and serve God so that you can be with Him forever in the next. And it's a huge responsibility to help your children on that same path too. But when you realize that that's what you were made for, and you start orienting your life around loving God more, making God and making prayer a priority, and really helping your children to do the same and pushing out all of those things that are not leading you to heaven, you realize that you start to experience God's peace in your home. And I know the concept of having a peaceful home can be sort of unattainable or otherworldly for parents, especially with small children. But I'll tell you, I've got three kids ages 6 and under, and there's peace in our home. It's not always quiet. Amen. It's not like a monastery, but there's peace. And yeah, even when there are conflicts, we can work through them and we stick together. And I just want every parent to feel the same.
Believe it or not, there could be even peace in the noise, because peace comes from Christ and love. So you could be having joyful noise, but still be have a peaceful environment, which is so beautiful. Debbie, you know, I love the fact that you included the saints in this. Every year, my husband, daughter, and I pick a different saint to have a devotion to. And last year she had Blessed Carlo Acutis. This year she picked St. Catherine of Siena. And I think it's a great way to remind our children there's amazing role models out there that they want to look to in our own faith and not in the outside world. And we have about a minute left with you. Can you just touch upon that in this next less than a minute about role models that you share in the book?
Yes, well, we have Blessed Carlo Acutis in a prayer for good use of the internet. We want parents to know that the church has over 2,000 years of saints to help us on our path to holiness. And so what you can do is you can open up the table of contents and you can see we've got the Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, the Holy Archangels, St. Gianna, St. Joachim and Anne, St. Rita, and so on. There are so many of them. So just open the book and pray the prayers that we've written. And you can get it. You can get the prayer book for tired parents at EWTNRC.com or SophiaInstitute.com.
And go to Ave Maria Radio as well. We'll put it in our bookstore, the prayer book for tired parents. We'll be right back, everyone, after the break. Stay with us.
Church has a very high view of conscience. I think it was St. John Henry Newman who called conscience the aboriginal vicar of Christ. Catechism reads this way on conscience: the interior voice of a human being within whose heart the inner law of God is inscribed. Moral conscience is a judgment of practical reason about the moral quality of a human action. It moves a person at the appropriate moment to do good and to avoid evil. It offers some suggestions, the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, the moral teachings of St. Paul. All of these things are used as a measure of how well we're doing. It is then up to the Catholic to take a look at the teaching of the Church and to see if, in fact, they are in proper communion. The idea that you can dispense with the objective moral teachings of the Church in favor of personalized conscience is lawless and anarchic.
Cresta in the Afternoon with Al Cresta, 4 Eastern on EWTN Radio.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
He's not on drugs. Parents will come into my office and describe a litany of trouble about this long. Then they'll say this: I'm giving you the wrong impression. Overall, he's a pretty good kid. How so? Well, he's not on drugs or anything like that. One of the new moral high bars out there: he's not on drugs. You want to raise a child not with the absence of pathology, but with the presence of virtue. She's miserable with me, but she treats everybody else great. Again, not the absence of bad behavior, but the presence of good behavior. He's not on drugs? It's a rationale. It may provide some comfort. It's not a path to virtue.
Who is Tony Dungy, the NFL Hall of Fame coach who spoke at the March for Life? Vanessa Denha-Garmo here filling in for Teresa Tamio. You know, Tony Dungy, this is something that Teresa and I would have talked about in the news segment, as I often join her for an in the news segment here on Catholic Connection. And Tony Dungy is a man who wears many hats. He's a football coach, a father, of 11, NFL analyst, adopted dad, New York Times bestselling author, and Pro Football Hall of Famer, among others. This is a great article in Catholic News Agency, and I'll tweet it as well on Vanessa Denha Garmo Twitter, and I'll put it on my communications evangelist coach, Vanessa Denha Garmo Facebook page. And so the title that the former star athlete and Super Bowl champion puts before any other is Christian. And when he was interviewed about his 13 years of experience as a head coach at the highest level of football, Dungy often makes it clear that his faith in Christ has been the primary driving factor of both his life on and off the field. He made that particularly clear when he talked about the time he prepared a speech following his team's victory in the Super Bowl. He said, "I just said I have to let people know my motivation. It was being a Christian coach," he recalled on his YouTube show, Beyond the Game. It's so wonderful that we have coaches like him and Harbaugh who stand up and speak up for truth and for life and to protect the unborn, the most vulnerable. But unfortunately, that comes with attacks. Dungy spoke at the March for Life this past year following the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And he got a lot of criticism from the pro-abortion side, in fact, calling him an extremist, which is kind of laughable because isn't killing a baby up until birth extreme? I mean, you know, it's such projection. Teresa and I talk about this all the time. It's such projection. And unfortunately, not enough media call them out on their projection because, you know, for so many people, abortion is a religion. And so when someone stands up to protect the most vulnerable in the world, and that's the unborn, they're attacked for it because it's not in line with an agenda they have at play. And so he unfortunately was attacked like many others who have public platforms and stand up. It's amazing how they get criticized for using their public platform, but yet Hollywood people who get up during an award show standing up and shouting out their abortion using that public platform, they don't get criticized, right? Or major corporations like Starbucks saying, if you don't believe in what I believe in as a pro-abortionist, you know, and somebody who gives lots of money to Planned Parenthood, don't shop, don't spend money at Starbucks. I mean, he's publicly said that, and nobody criticizes that. But yet, when somebody like Tony Dungy comes up and stands up for life, it's all a Twitter, you know. We got to attack on Twitter now. And that's what happens. That's what happens. And so Andrew pulled a clip from Tony Dungy, and we want to share that with you here on Catholic Connection.
Can't tell you how much excitement Lauren and I have to be here today. Even though this march is taking place right at the biggest time of my profession, the NFL playoffs, this is way, way, way more important. It's amazing to me that God actually used football to shine some light on the subject of life for all of us. 3 weeks ago, during a game in Cincinnati, something happened that impacted our entire country. A young man named DeMar Hamlin of the Buffalo Bills made a routine tackle and his heart stopped beating right on the field. It could have been tragic, but something miraculous happened. The team medical staff rushed out. They got DeMar's heart started again. But you know what? That wasn't the miracle. The real miracle was the reaction of everyone to that. The announcers on the broadcast, what did they say? All we can do is pray. And all across the country, people started praying. Laura and I, we were having dinner with friends of ours, and we stopped what we were doing, and we prayed right there. The Bills players prayed right on the spot. Now, usually when that happens, the cameras cut away from that because we don't like to see that. Back when I was coaching in the 1990s, a few Christian players got together and they said, we want to pray after the games. And we actually got a memo from the NFL office that said, don't let your players do that. If you do, you'll be fined because that's not appropriate. Can you believe that? That's a true story. But last week, or 3 weeks ago, everybody on that field was praying. And it continued. The next week, at every stadium in the NFL, teams got together and prayed, and it was amazing. Well, those prayers were answered. DeMar's recovering now. He's home. He's been released from the hospital. But what's the lesson in that? You know, an unbelievable thing happened that night, a professional football game with millions of dollars of ticket money and advertising money on the line. That game was canceled. Why? Because a life was at stake. And people wanted to see that life saved. Even people who aren't necessarily religious got together and called on God. Well, that should be encouraging to us because that's exactly why we're here today. Because every day in this country, innocent lives are at stake. And the only difference is they don't belong to a famous athlete and they're not seen on national TV. But those lives are still important to God and in God's eyes. Psalm 139 tells us that God is watching every one of these young bodies as they're growing in their mother's womb because he placed them there. Now, we know that there are a lot of people in this country that don't believe that. They don't see these babies as being important. They don't even see them as lives. So what can we do about that? Well, I think we have to take a lesson from Damar's story. We have to pray. We need to pray with the same fervor that we prayed with during that week because God answers prayer, and he will answer these prayers to save these precious unborn lives as we go forward. So if we do our part, we'll save more and more of these lives. But that can't be the end of the story. When God does give us more of these lives, what are we going to do to nurture these children and help them grow?
Amen. Amen, 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 amen. What a great story. What a great message of hope. What a great message of power of prayer. And that's important for all of us to remember. There is power in prayer. And to see everybody stopping this football game and stop in prayer for one player speaks volumes about people's faith and the power of prayer and how, you know, their faith in God. And sometimes these situations happen for the Lord to shine his light on us. You know, God revealed in our lives. And that's what I was thinking, that epiphany moment, that aha moment where God is showing, here I am, and I want you to come to me. And we stopped a football game and we prayed for one player. And he tied that into the March, you know, for Life speech about praying for all lives, the most vulnerable, the most innocent, and those of the unborn. And sometimes when you think there's nothing you can do, there's always something to do because you can always pray. And maybe meditate on Psalms 139 and ask the Lord to guide you and where he's calling you to pray for the innocent, to protect the innocent. You know, we all blessed with charisms to evangelize the faith, and I truly believe that we should be using those charisms in the pro-life movement to protect the most innocent, the most vulnerable. And I'm truly grateful for Coach Dungy and Tim Tebow and Coach Harbaugh and people like them using public platforms to stand up and speak truth, to stand up for the unborn, to stand up for what is right and just. Despite being criticized and verbally persecuted on social media, as Catholics often are for posting what they believe in. But we have to still do it. We can't allow the world to cancel us out because we don't stand up for their agenda. That's the world we live in today. But we pray for those people and we try to meet them where they're at on their own faith journey. It is 40 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tomeo here this morning. Coming up after the break will be Gail Buckley-Berenger, as she always does here on a Monday, sharing with us the scripture verse from the Catholic Scripture Study International. We'll be right back, everyone.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. Get active with the Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Our funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors should consider investing in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. Call Ave Maria Mutual Funds today, toll-free, 866-AVE-MARIA, or visit AveMariaFunds.com. The advisor invests in securities only if they meet the fund's investment and religious requirements, and as such, the return may be lower or higher than if the advisor made decisions based solely on investment considerations. The fund's method of security selection may or may not be successful, and the fund may underperform or outperform the stock market as a whole. All mutual funds are subject to market risk, including possible loss of principal. For a prospectus, which includes objective, risk, fees, charges, expenses, and other information that should be read and considered carefully before investing, call 1-866-AVE-MAUIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com. Distributed by Ultimus Fund Distributors, LLC.
Father Benedict Rochelle.
Brothers and sisters, we got to tell the truth in this country. For heaven's sakes, I wouldn't want to go to a synagogue and find that they were having a Muslim service. I wouldn't want to go to a mosque and run into a Baptist service. I don't want to go to a Baptist church and find out that they're having Mass. We've got to be honest to ourselves. We've got to be what we are. I'd rather a good old-fashioned, honest agnostic than a phony Christian any day of the week. There are reluctant agnostics. There are atheists who are searching for God, and they may find him. But somebody who says they're doing something in the name of God, in the name of Christ, and God and Christ have nothing to do with it, is violating this commandment. I am the Lord your God. You shall not take my name in vain.
The people you know and trust are on EWTN.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
13, and it says, "Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead." Now, this is St. Paul the Apostle, and he's speaking to the Philippian people. And when he says he doesn't consider that he's yet taken hold of it, what he's talking about is becoming the kind of Christian he's striving to be. And, you know, he feels like he wants to be a better Christian, and he's not going to let anything from his past keep him from being the person he wants to be. And the most important goal, of course, for all of us is that goal to get to heaven. Like Paul, you know, we need to strive each day to be better people and to do God's will, and it's not always easy. And if it was hard for St. Paul, you can imagine how hard it is for us. I mean, he looks like so great. But, you know, an important thing that Paul states in this verse, you know, our verse today, is that one thing I do is forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. You know, in other words, he's not going to let his past haunt him. Mm-hmm. You know, some people find it difficult to move on and forget their past sins. Even if they confess them and they've been absolved, they still hang on to them and worry about them. And, you know, we're starting a new year now, and I think it's important for us to think about this. You know, often these resolutions that we make are, you know, just, you know, stop smoking, lose weight, you know, make changes in our lives. But, you know, I think starting a new year is also a good time to let go of the past. And this is the time when our sins, or the sins that are weighing on our conscience, that, you know, when we go to confession and we start a new year, we need a clear conscience and we need a clean soul and we need to let go of those things. And I think it's a good time to let grievances go, too. Like if we are holding a grievance against someone, you know, often we have difficulty forgetting, you know, that we've been hurt by someone. But holding on to that just hurts us, you know, and we need to, you know, we not only suffer the hurt and the pain and the anger it causes, but God can't forgive us if we don't forgive others. We know that from the Lord's Prayer. And so I think St. Paul, you know, he refers to life as a race in another part of Scripture. He refers to it as a race in this life, not only to reach the finish line, because we'll all reach the finish line someday, but, you know, because we'll die. But St. Paul wants us to get to the finish line, but he wants us to cross it and reach the ultimate goal, which is heaven. And he wants us to spend eternity with the Lord, and that's what our goal should be. So I think the most important New Year's resolution for all of us to make is to be the best Christians we can be, to strive to please God, so that whether our lives, you know, in this year or next or many years from now, When our time comes, God will say to us, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's my resolution this year. I mean, I have some others, but that's the main one.
So, yeah, I love this, don't looking back, because a lot of us live in the past, and we harp on what could have, should have, would have,
right.
And there's no point, right? I mean, we can't go back and change anything.
No, we can't. I was talking to a friend recently who lost a loved one, and she was saying, I just wish I had done this, or I should have done that, or I should have said this. And I said, that's the devil. Don't let the devil put those thoughts to your mind. You did everything you could, and... you know, you don't need to worry about that. The past is the past.
Yeah, exactly. And so many of us get trapped in that living in the past that we can't move forward. And it's such a good message from St. Paul about how do we forge ahead? We all make mistakes. We all sin. We all fall. But we have to pick ourselves back up and say, okay, today I'm going to do better.
Exactly. And not think about what went on before. Not dwell in it, not wallow in it. I have a son who loves to wallow in his past sins, even after he goes to confession. And I said, it's been absolved. It's gone. Let go of it. You know, that's just the devil trying to make you miserable. And you don't want that. You don't want to give him any glee by making you miserable. Go forward. Yeah, so that's what we all need to do, to let the past be the past and go forward, pick ourselves up, like you said, every day and start over. And God is merciful.
Amen. Gail Buckley, always a pleasure talking with you here on Catholic Connection.
Hey, Vanessa.
God bless you and have a wonderful week. Vanessa Dunn-Hagarmo filling in for Teresa Tomeo. You can tune into Epiphany, 12 noon Eastern Time on Ave Maria Radio.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Krucek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.